And so last week we kind of finished with the whole idea of discipleship, and I didn't have a rounding a group of people that approached me saying, I want to be a disciple or I want to be discipled. So I'm not sure what that means, but I would just encourage you, if you're a person that is a newer believer that doesn't have great understanding in terms of the knowledge of God, just realize that we at Living Hope Christian Church want to be committed to your maturity, your growing in Christ and your greater understanding. If you feel like you're a person that has that, please talk to me. Again, discipleship being about me sharing my life of Christ to someone else. And even, you know, if you are a person that is struggling with some aspect of life and someone coming alongside you, again, we need to be have that mindset, have that understanding. You know, as we're interacting with people, I think in some ways discipleship starts with just getting to know people. And finding out, oh, I didn't know you were that new a believer. How'd you like to sit down and have a coffee and we can talk about the faith? You know, it's not about even like I have this great thing and I'm giving you a download. It's sharing in each other's lives effectively. And in many ways, that's where Paul goes to in terms of Philippians chapter 4. After talking about himself in a way that whatever you see in me, what you've heard in me, what you've received, put it into practice. He then moves on in verse 10 in Philippians 4, you know, talking about the care and concern. But I guess we will start off with let's go with the first slide. Sorry, before I go there. Yeah, it's time. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, the main part of what this message will be about is how satisfied are you with your life in terms of where Paul is going. But now, going into verse 10, in terms of just what Paul is talking about in the people of Philippi really showing him concern. So again, he says here in verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. So in verse 10 here, it's a little odd way for Paul to say something, at least in my estimation. Again, but Paul is referring to a gift that they gave, but Paul is saying it's not about the money they gave him, it is about the concern they had for him. And so, you know, again, Paul is finding a way to talk about the finances they provide, but then again, it's about the concern that they had for him. And it really does mark what should be part of our lives, define us as believers, like the care and concern we have for each other. It should be the way that we act. It is what Jesus does to the human heart as far as how we would engage with the need that people have. You know, when you find someone that's hurt, when you find someone that's helpless, when you find someone that needs something, you know, what would come in your heart in terms of the concern you would have, the care you would have for them? You know, I think concern talks about what's in our heart. Care talks about the actions that we take, the things we move to in terms of what we would do to address the needs that people have. But again, it's another part of human relationship. It's another part of what should be happening in our lives, certainly as believing people within a congregation, but even to the world. You know, when you think about the pattern of how we would think of translating the gospel to people and praying for people, caring for people, and then sharing our faith. You know, in many ways in our society, you know, people, you know, well, I don't care what you know until I know how much you care, that sentiment in terms of, you know, like you can say that you're a believer, you can say that Jesus matters in your life, but if it doesn't translate to something, if it's not impacting you, well, why should it impact someone else? And so therefore, a big way that God's life in us translates is the care that we show, is the concern that we have for people. And I think it comes down to looking for opportunities to do that. You know, I think that's what Paul is pointing to here. Again, when he talks about, you know, at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. You know, so sometimes you have this care, you have this concern in terms of what you would do in the context of need, but there's no opportunity to show it. There's no vehicle through which you can get to that place. And I think we just try to do that. You know, I know for myself that a lot of times when I'm showing care and concern for people, you know, it's very tempting to go beyond the care and concern to talk about what got them in the position that they're in, or how they could get themselves out of that. And we just have to make sure that when we're doing that, we're making sure we maintain our care and our concern. Like, I know for myself, when, you know, people are suffering from the bad decisions they've made, like, basically, you're in a place because, look at the past, and now where you are, like, you're in a mess right now because of what you have done. And so I know for myself that sometimes I can almost become hardened by that. And so we have to watch out for that. We have to watch out that when we are, you know, addressing that, I think there's a point you make as people are in a fix and you're trying to bring the message of Christ. Part of that is that care and compassion. I just identify with the bad place you're in, and I'm sympathetic to that. I'm compassionate to that. You know, I bring consolation to that. But then let's look at what brought you there, and then let's look at what is going, you know, what needs to happen to fix this, to go to get to the other side of that. And I think one of the great aspects of what God gives us is just the knowledge of, okay, I have this care and concern for you, but now there's a direction out of this. And then what is God going to provide? What is God going to direct? You know, what truth are you going to hold to get yourself in a better place? And so I think that's part of that care and concern, but we have to maintain that heart. We have to maintain that softness. You know, I don't know about you, but as I get older, that gets a little more challenging. You know how people, you know, when you get older, you kind of lose your filter. You know, you just say things, whatever you're thinking. You know, you're just blurting things out. Hey, kind of got to watch that in terms of how we would engage with people. But again, looking for that opportunity. You know, when you, you know, care and concern is not convenient. You know, we can't expect that, you know, when different situations happen in people's lives where, again, we would be concerned about them, you know, we would have compassion towards them, we'd want to express care for them, you know, that it doesn't necessarily happen in a time frame that's convenient for us. But you have to recognize when those things come about, it is an opportunity to take what you're already thinking inside, what heart you have towards people, and then showing that care in practical ways. And I think that's how we would internalize and what we would learn from what Paul is saying. See, I oftentimes talk like this in terms of Paul, but it's not in terms of people caring for me. It's about me caring for people and the concern that I would have for people. You know, I know for myself, something that I see pastorally is that I recognize that I am the pastor of Living Hope Christian Church. And on some level, by you being here, you recognize the fact that I'm the pastor of Living Hope Christian Church. I just love the opportunities that life and circumstance bring where I become your pastor. Like, I see a transition. There's a point in time where all of a sudden, whatever I am in Christ, whatever gift I have, where now all of a sudden that intersects with the circumstance you're in, and I go from being just the pastor of Living Hope to being your pastor. And I'm honored by that transition. I'm honored by the one getting to that place. Again, I'm not familiar with that in terms of what role I would have. But again, that is going to be about care. That's going to be about concern. But it's also going to be about truth. It's going to be about, okay, here's where we are. What got us here? Now, where do we go from here? And so again, looking for opportunities to show that. So I think, you know, you could think of it in terms of your own life. Like, yeah, I'm a friendly person. I have a relationship with this person. But then all of a sudden, I intersect with something where there's a need and I care and I bring it to the fore in terms of what I'm doing. And now the relationship is at a different level in terms of just what the nature of what it is. And so again, Paul is expressing that way, but in a strange way that Paul is saying it. But really, that the better point of this passage, the reason why the title of the sermon is "How Satisfied Are You with Your Life?" is where he goes in verse 11. Like, he's saying, okay, thank you for the gift. And he's going to talk about the gift, by the way. After talking about contentment, he's going to go back to talking about the gift. So this section, in some ways, is about the gift that he's received from them. But he's using it as an opportunity to talk about contentment. And that's what the next slide points us to. You know, contentment. You know, Paul brings up this gift at this point to talk about what he's learned about contentment. And it's an interesting word in and of itself when he says here in verse 11, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry. And so again, that's now where he goes, and the word that he used for contentment is an interesting one in and of itself. It's autoarchaeo, so auto means himself, and archaeo, rather, is to suffice. It is the only time found in the New Testament. It's always interesting to find a word that Paul picks out of Greek, picks out of something the world understands what this means, but now inserting it into the knowledge of Christ, the nature of the Christian life. And so we only found this time in the New Testament, but it was a common word in Stoic philosophy. It was used to describe the person who, through discipline, had become independent of external circumstances and who discovered within himself resources that were more than adequate for any situation that might arise. I mean, doesn't that sound like something we would all want? Be that self-established person, that self-satisfied man, that I don't need anything and I don't need anyone and I've just got it all figured out and I've got it all done. Great picture, right? In terms of what we would attain to. I mean, Plato, in the context of that, hope you know Plato, a famous Greek philosopher back then, he said this on the next slide. As he said, the man should be sufficient unto himself for all things, and able by the power of his own will to resist the force of circumstance. In other words, regardless of what happens, things are good, things are bad, doesn't matter, I'm still who I am, I still know what I am, I know what I'm trying to accomplish. Again, that's how Plato is talking. Now, what something they did say in the context of that is to make a man happy, and not to his possessions, but take away from his desires. Well, like a lot of our discontentment is about our expectations. A lot of our discontentment is about, well, I thought it was going to be this way. I thought it was going to be that way. I wanted it this way. I wanted it that way. Well, maybe what you don't change is that, don't change the circumstance. Change what your desire is in the context of the circumstance. Now, hopefully you understand that Paul, in using this word, is embracing the concept. Like he's embracing the goal. Like, in other words, yes, this can happen to you. That this should be, well, certainly he's really not even saying this should happen to you. He's saying this is what's happened to me, what Paul is saying. Like, I've learned this. I've learned the place where because of God, because of Christ, because of my knowledge of him, how that has translated into my life is, you know something? Whether things are good or things are bad, I'm the same person. Like, I'm grounded in something that is bigger than myself. And so therefore, Paul would embrace the sentiment that's coming from Greek philosophy, but say the means to that is completely different. You know, how you get there, it's not about your self-will. It's not about gritting your teeth and, again, establishing something in terms of your own self. And we find there are people in the world that are trying to get there, right? You know, some people, you know, they're just trying to figure out life, you know, in terms of, and maybe life is kind of overwhelming. And, you know, so therefore, you know, we come to people they're seeking mercy, they're seeking compassion, they're seeking care. Other people are, I don't need you, I've got it all figured out. And so sometimes we're intersecting with people that, no, I've got there. Like, I am content. I am good. I am blessed. I have figured it out. I've got the education. I've got the finances. I've got the thing. And, well, really? Is it really all that good? Like, how do you sleep at night? What thoughts go on in your head when you're lying in bed? And you're sure Jesus couldn't intersect there? You're sure Jesus couldn't help in some way? But certainly what we're modeling for the world, what we're seeking to attain in terms of what God does make possible, is that place where we come to a place of contentment because of who Jesus is, not because of who we are. But no, go back to, you know, it is interesting that Paul, you know, again, there are three things going on in this passage, well, maybe really four. Okay, there's five, no. There's a few things happening in this passage that kind of are interesting as far as how Paul is expressing this. And on one level, the I is prominent. Like in Greek, you can move words around, and so when you put a word in a place that it doesn't belong, it actually highlights it. And so basically what Paul is saying is, it's not so much what you've learned about this, it's what I have learned about this. You know, and maybe when you're a Paul, maybe when you're a Caleb, when you're out there and you're doing ministry and you recognize, something, I got to eat. I've got to have clothes on my back. I've got to, have finances to do the thing. And so therefore, I recognize when there's plenty, when the harvest is good and things are working well, great. But then when it's not, how am I thinking on the inside in relation to the circumstances on the outside? And Paul is saying, I have figured it out. I've come to a place in my life where I recognize that circumstances don't matter. That if I'm in the right place in my heart, then it doesn't matter what's happening in circumstances. And so again, he has learned something himself. So that's the I is emphasized. That's kind of interesting. The word is interesting. We already talked about that. And then the other thing is the word learned is in a past tense that looks at everything that has happened and then sees it as complete. So I learned to be content. So content is a special word. The I is emphasized. And again, the learned. So Paul is talking about his whole life. He's talking about all the things that he has gone through, all the things where he was discontent, all the things that he was complaining and critical and discouraged and all the things. And he got to the point where, you know something, why am I wrangling over this? Why am I bothered by this? Why am I letting this disrupt my life? When ultimately in my knowledge of God, the power of Christ, I can be in a different place. But he's learned that. Again, he's summarizing his life here in terms of it is targeted primarily to circumstance. It's targeted to financial provision or food, the basic aspects of life. And so Paul, whether I have plenty or whether I have lack, it doesn't matter. I still have learned to, again, I've learned this. I mean, don't miss this, the word secret. That's the fourth thing kind of here, that comes out in verse 12. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content. I think people, maybe when you recognize how many people aren't content, I think we live in a world that's not content. I think the advertising and marketing industry is trying to make you discontent. So there's a lot of Americans that are discontent, not about what they have, but about what they don't have. And so therefore, when you figure that out, you might even find people that kind of figure that out. Like, oh, I don't need to, pursue those things. I don't need those things. But when we do that in Christ, what we do that in the knowledge of God and the provision of God, it really is a beautiful thing as far as I feel like I've gotten the key to life in terms of not needing things that other people seem to need. And so again, it's a secret. But again, that power, it is Christ that makes that possible. Again, when he finishes into verse 13, that doesn't mean we're going to verse 13, but we'll just mention it here. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And so therefore, even though we can take that verse and recognize all that means in terms of Christ's power, that right here, Paul is saying, when it comes to contentment, in regards to this secret, in terms of what I've gotten to in terms of my knowledge of how I engage with circumstances, Jesus has helped me with that. He's the secret. I didn't do anything but know him more and trust him more. And the result was, hey, now all of a sudden I'm content. Now all of a sudden I'm good with whatever God wills, whatever God provides, whatever is happening. It is Christ who makes it possible. So again, so contentment, it does have a lot to do with acceptance. And I see this contentment beyond just what Paul says in terms of physical circumstances or financial things to being broader than that, in terms of all that God affords, in terms of us being content. Again, it's about acceptance, accepting who you are, your circumstances, what they are, and accepting others as well, if only to recognize the right they have to make decisions for themselves. Like, again, when you think about God and all that he is, you think about God and his knowledge and his power and his provision, his plan, you know, what does that now translate to what I think about my life? Again, how satisfied are you with your life? Now, this does not mean that everything is good. I don't think contentment is about everything. Again, he says, I've learned to be content when I'm lacking, when I don't have anything. I still learn to be content. And so what it is in terms of our knowledge of God and what God is orchestrating, what he's bringing together, how he's working through people and circumstance and our hearts to bring us to a certain place. I think contentment is also found in not lacking anything. James 1, 2 through 4 says this, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I just love when the Bible speaks in extremes. Not lacking anything. I mean, what does that remind you of? Reminds you of what Plato said, right? Someone by their own will and their own ability should get to the place where they're self-sufficient. Circumstances don't matter. Sounds like James here, that you become mature in Christ. You're built up in Christ. You're built up in, you become complete in terms of all the dynamics of what God brings you to, in terms of your knowledge, in terms of your power, in terms of your provision. And so therefore, I lack nothing. Like, this is more about enhancing our understanding of contentment. Again, how do I define contentment? Like, again, if contentment is the goal, what does it look like? Well, on some level, it's acceptance. It's accepting yourself. It's accepting others. It's accepting your circumstances. Like, yeah, like, I can, well, we'll get to it. I don't want to. So many aspects of this message, it's hard to know where you put things, so I don't want to get ahead of myself. But this whole idea of, again, I lack nothing. And just realize that James is speaking in the context of trials. He's speaking in the context of difficulties. And so now, because those difficulties happen, see, when I think that I need something, and then God strips it away, and I'm still whole without it, huh, I guess it didn't need that, right? Isn't that part of the process? I think that's part of the testing of faith. I think that's part of the trials. Like, I thought I needed this thing. I thought it was the thing I was dependent on and desiring and so on and so forth. And now God strips me down and brings me to a place where now I don't have that. Hey, God is still real. I still have joy. God is still present. God still has a will for my life. Like, I didn't fall apart. Like I think that's part of the process. You know, it's kind of like a kid. You know, a kid thinks, you know, I remember I had this truck. And this is my favorite truck. I love this truck. And I think what happened is I made a fire in the woods and I burned the truck. And so I lose the truck because I did something stupid. You know those times where you thought, you know, your kid, you thought you could make a little fire, then all of a sudden the fire gets big. Oh my gosh, let's put this out for mom. Like, you never did that? You're missing. Like what you learn as a kid now, like, oh, don't do that. Don't put your truck near the fire. But all of a sudden, I realized I didn't need the truck. But you learn that, like the essence of life is not the play truck. It's not the girl. It's not the clothes. It's not the house. It's not the possessions. It's not about that. Like, you'll be okay if you lost it all. And so, again, getting to that place, like, trials do that. Trials purify us. It lessens our desire and connection to things. And so that's where I think James is talking about. After persevering through that, like I stick with God, I keep walking with him, I trust that he's working. All right, now where am I? Boy, I find that I'm lacking nothing. Again, defining contentment. Another thing is not being in wants. I love Psalm 23 like other people don't. But the Lord is my... I've heard say so many things. When I was a kid, the way the King James translated this verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I always thought, like, is the Bible telling me I shouldn't want the Lord as my shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But I do want him. Like, look at all the things the Psalm says, I want that shepherd. But really what it means is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. Like, in other words, when God's in charge, when we're looking to him to provide, we'll find a place where we are not in want. And then where that psalm brings us to is really every aspect of life. It is Philippians 4 laid out that he leads us by green pastures. He leads us by the still waters. He restores my soul. But you know something? If I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because God's with me. So again, talk about not, I'm not going to have want because God is with me. Even going to thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. By the way, that rod and the staff is God's discipline. It's hardship. It's God bringing us to the woodshed and saying, no, don't do that. No, here's correction. Here's difficulty. Here's challenge. But you know something? I'm still in that place is the Lord is my shepherd, so I will not be in want. So therefore, as we, like what I want us to do, and by, what I want us to do is I want us to get to this place of knowing the secret. Knowing the secret that Paul found in terms of what is contentment. Particularly for you, for people that aren't content. If you struggle with this aspect of life, Paul has a secret. And I want us to get to that secret. But in some ways it starts with, what's the goal? Again, it is about accepting things. Like if nothing changed, you would still be okay. Now, I'm not going to get to the slide. I think that can be I'm content with what God is doing. I'm content with what I'm doing. Like, I don't like the situation, and we'll get to this next week. I don't like the situation, but I'm content with what I'm doing. Like, and I can only do what I can do. Like, I broke my leg. I don't like that I broke my leg, but I'm content knowing what the doctors are doing. I'm content to know what God is doing. And so, therefore, I can find a place of contentment in terms of me breaking my leg. Now, I hope that God does not teach me a lesson to show how content I can be and I break my leg this week. So that'll be a sign. No, I'm telling you, I shouldn't joke like that. Because, but the point being that it is about accepting things. I'm trying to get to a place where I don't lack things. I don't engage with life thinking I'm lacking. I engage with life like that I'm full because I've been matured in Christ. And then it's I'm not in want. Like, how much of our lives are we thinking, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. So therefore, all those desires that would say, but I do want, I need the thing, I want the thing, I desire the thing. No, if the Lord's your shepherd, then you won't be in want. And so if you're going to be content, then part of what that should define and describe is the fact that you are not in want. And I believe you, God has great things for us in terms of the contentment and what it brings into our lives. So let's bow and let's pray this morning. So Father, we just thank you for this time we had with Caleb and all that it means to be a believer around the world. But our task here is to be a believer in our space, in where you've placed us. And so Father, I just pray that as we seek to model the things of Christ, that Father, we would not only have the peace that pushes away anxiety, but we would also have contentment toward the things in our lives. As the world runs after things, help us to run after you. and find in you this great secret that I don't need to want what I want. I don't need to pursue the things that I pursue. That, Father, I can put myself under your shepherding and then be in a place where I am not in want. And so, Father, we just pray you really cement this in our hearts. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that we do pray. Amen.
There's days when a praise comes out easy, days when it takes all the strength.